Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. We also want to welcome our radio listeners who's tuned in this morning as well. We're going to open our service with Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, this hymn of opening. So we'd like to ask you to stand as we open our service this morning. We're glad to see everyone this morning. We'll sing three verses.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation.
Seated. Pastor, you come.
Keep this thing turned off so you won't hear me sing. But since we're on the radio, I have to wear it. It's good to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. We welcome you to this service this morning. What we're going to do is continue meeting at 11 o'clock. On Sunday morning, and we want you to be comfortable with that. If you feel like wearing a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, that's up to you. We want you to be seated here where you feel comfortable, so we're going to keep doing that. And then another option we have, of course, is radio at 11 o'clock, and we're going to continue doing that. And so those who are listening today, I want you to know that we do miss you. I was reading a verse this week in Philippians, and it was Philippians 1:8, and Paul was talking to the church of Philippi, and he said, I miss you. He said, I have great affection in my missing you. He said, I wish I could be with you. And he said, I miss you with the affection of Christ. And that's how we feel, because everyone is not here in person, but we know that you listen by radio, so we want you to continue doing that. So going forward, we'll meet at 11 o'clock, and then we will continue doing our radio broadcast. So as of now, that's where that stands. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for this day. This is a great day that you've given us. We thank you for this day of worship. Father, I pray today that our focus would be upon you. And I ask today that we'd honor you in all that we do here today. I pray that our hearts would be open to you and your will for our lives. Lord, we love you, and we just want to take this time today to worship you. Lord, we know that there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of uneasiness in our world today. And Father, no human has the answer to all that, but we know that you do. And I just pray that we would focus on you today and worship you in spirit and truth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. We're going to continue with our singing this morning. Along with what he announced, we did order some masks, and they'll be here next week. They'll be available. You know, if you want to pick one up, you can take one. They'll be free. If you forget yours or feel more comfortable with one, we'll have those available when you come in the sanctuary in the gymnasium here next week when we meet. So we're going to sing two hymns together, The Solid Rock, and we'll understand it better by and by. So you join with us. Very familiar hymns.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Oft our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story understand it better by and by.
Thank you. Good words to those hymns. We'll understand it better in the solid rock. We're going to continue as the praise team comes forward with our corporate worship singing at this time, talking about the name of Jesus and what we believe. It's called the Believer's Creed will be the second song we sing. So I'll ask you to stand on the first one, and then you can rest as long as you'll sing when you sit down on the second one, okay? All right, let's stand, please.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as a lamb, he carries my healing. Storm that rages, He is Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the waters, who speaks to the sea, who stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb, he carries Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like the lion, you bled as the lamb, you carry my healing in your hand. You walk on the waters, you speak to the sea, you stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you bled as a lamb, you carry my healing in your hands, Jesus.
Thank you. You may be seated. As we sing, this is the Believer's Creed. It's about all the things that we as Christians believe. And hope you enjoy the song and sing with us. We believe. This we believe.
Oh. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty. Through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. Saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. The Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father God, in a time when it's hard to know what to believe and it's hard to know what's going to change next, God, we thank you that we can trust in you. We can trust your word. Your word confirms in our heart that you are an unchanging God. We thank you for your love for us. It's unconditional. We thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity we had to sing your praises and hear your word this morning. Open our hearts that we may receive your word. And I pray that we would live out the truths that we find today in your word. We ask in Christ's name, amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And as we continue to go through what we're going through, then what we need is wisdom. And I want to talk to you today about trusting in God's wisdom. One of my favorite books in the Bible has always been Proverbs. For many years, what I've done in my devotion time is to read one chapter in Proverbs every day. And so I'll do that along with what I'm doing in my devotion time. It's just a very, very practical book. And so more than anything else today, we do need wisdom and we need understanding in dealing what we are dealing with. It becomes so easy, I think, with dealing with something like COVID-19 and all that we see going on in the world today, to take our focus off of the Lord and put it on circumstance. And so what I want to encourage us to do is to keep our focus on the Lord and trust in Him and do what these verses tell us to do here in the book of Proverbs. Now, these are very familiar verses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. In this chapter of Proverbs, God gives us three resources. One that He gives us here is the resource of wisdom. The second is prayer. And the third is faith. And so we have these resources that God makes available to us. In my training and understanding and my pastoral ministry, what I've been taught through the years is that there are seven reactions to a crisis. And I want to share these with you as we get going today, and I want you to apply it to where you are today. The first is denial. In that stage, we say, well, it's not my problem. It may not even be real. The second stage is dismissal. It's real, but it's no big deal. It'll end fast and won't last. The third is defiance. I refuse to let this limit my freedom. I'm healthy. The fourth is delayed acceptance. Okay, it is a big deal and it will affect me. The fifth is disruption. My life just turned upside down and I must make some tough choices. The sixth stage is distress. It's going to last a long time and change everything. And then we come to the seventh stage. With God's grace, we'll get through this together. And so we're all having to make tough choices today. We are. There's tough choices being made every day. And as Jeff said earlier, it seems like things change every day with what we are dealing with. So my thought on that in preparation for today, to help us have the patience with what we're going through, and help us to have the understanding that we need, where do we go? Well, we go to God, and we need His wisdom. We need His wisdom. There's no human answer. And like we know, with what we're dealing with today, there's extreme. There's extremes. There's no middle ground. And usually you're either one way or the other. And so that's where we are. And so we're making tough choices. So when it comes to those tough choices, and these choices are not, sometimes it's not obvious. It could be the choice between two good things. And it could be that the only choice you have to make is going to be something very painful. That whichever choice you make, that regardless of what you choose, is going to be very painful. So that's what we're talking about today. And so the question comes now is, how does trusting God, help us with the choices, the tough choices of life that we all have to make. Well, think of something that you're going to have to make a decision about this week. Think about a choice that's facing you this week. What decision are you going to make? See, that's where it becomes practical to us. We're getting ready to start back with school. Our students will have a choice to make. They're going to have to choose on how they want to finish school. They're going to have to choose on how they're going to do what they do, you know, in the coming year. Parents are going to have to make that choices. Some of you are making choices about your job. And so there's tough choices that we're all faced with. And so, see, our ability to choose is a gift from God because we're created in the image of God, and God gives us that ability. He gives us that gift to make choices. Someone has said this, though. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. And that's a good statement. So first of all, here's the first truth I want to talk about. When I trust God, He gives me His wisdom. Now, James 1:5 says it this way. If you lack wisdom, you should pray and ask God because He gives it generously to anyone who asks. He never resents you asking. God loves to help you, and He'll give you the wisdom you need. Just ask God. So we pray and we ask God for wisdom. I've been praying this week hard. You understand there are some churches that have decided to close down again. And so that was a decision I had to make for our congregation here. Do we stay open or do we shut down? And it very, you know, very hard choice to make in those areas of life. And so you pray about those things. James 3:17 says that we need the wisdom that is from above. You see, what knowledge is? Knowledge is the accumulation of facts. We can gain knowledge by reading books and so forth. But what wisdom is the ability to take those facts and to apply them in every situation in a way that brings a good outcome. That's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. But see, the Bible is clear on this. The wisdom we need is wisdom from above. In the book of James, the Bible tells us there's a difference in the wisdom from above and the wisdom of this world. And we understand that. We know that. But here's what we also know, that the wisdom from above can change our life. It can help us, you know, in these areas that we struggle with. The wisdom from above is God's wisdom. It's opposite than the world's wisdom. The wisdom of the world, the Bible describes it this way. It is the world, it is the flesh, and it is the devil. In other words, it is the world's philosophy. It's the world's attitude about things. It is the flesh. It's my human nature. See, I'm going to make mistakes. And I always don't make the right choices as I go along. Why? Because I'm still human. You're still human. And so it's the world, it's the flesh, and then it's the devil. And folks, I'm telling you, with this stuff that we're going through, with the virus and with COVID-19 and all the disruption that we find in our country today and in the world today, it's really becoming a spiritual battle. And you need to understand that. You need to understand that the spiritual battle that we're facing as believers in the world today is real. And so we need God's wisdom in dealing with these things that come our way. So getting wisdom, according to Proverbs 4:7, getting wisdom is the most important thing that you can get in life. And so we need wisdom because it's important that we have wisdom. You heard about the factory that broke down? If you didn't, you're going to hear about it now because I'm going to tell you about it. This factory broke down. And so what the supervisor did, he called in an outside expert. Now, we used to call an expert somebody that travels to your town with a briefcase and a suit. That's an expert, you know. They have all the answers. Well, the supervisor called in this outside expert. So he came in. He was looking at all the machinery in the factory and everything. And this one machine had the whole thing shut down. And so he evaluated the situation, and he reached in his toolbox, and he tapped on the machine with a hammer. And all of a sudden, the thing just started running. Well, he sent a bill to the company, and the bill was for $100, just for tapping on that machine. And so the supervisor got all upset that he'd charged him so much, and he said, I want this broken down. I want you to break this bill down for me. Why did you charge me so much money? And so this fellow just wrote him back, and he said, $1 was for tapping on the machine. $100 was to know where to tap the machine. And so that's just the point, you know, wisdom. In other words, some of you get to a place in life where they pay you for what you know. It's not what you do, it's what you know. And so he had the wisdom to do that. We need wisdom, and the wisdom we need is wisdom from God. King Solomon had gone to Gibeon to build an altar and worship. And when young King Solomon went to worship that day, he was worshiping God and praying to God. God said, Solomon, I want you to ask for anything. And anything that you ask for, I'll give it to you. You know what Solomon asked for? He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for all this, these material things. He said, God, I want wisdom. He said, give me an understanding heart that I'll know how to rule my people. And so God answered that prayer. So the question now is, how do we get the wisdom we need? If I'm praying for that wisdom, then how does that wisdom come? Well, first of all, the Bible teaches us that we're to put God first in our life. In Psalm 111, verse 10, reverence from the Lord is the foundation of all true wisdom. The rewards of wisdom are given to anyone who listens and obeys God. And so without the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, then we don't have that wisdom. The greatest choice, the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life is to ask Christ to come into your life. And so that's where the wisdom comes from. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians and 2 Corinthians that Jesus Christ is the power of God and Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. So it begins, this wisdom from above, this wisdom that we're talking about. The wisdom that is different from the world begins with a right relationship with God. The Bible tells us that as we think about this kind of wisdom, it is reverence for the Lord that's a foundation for all true wisdom. Reverence is another way of saying honor. The Bible tells us in Proverbs over and over again that the beginning of wisdom is fear, to fear the Lord. That's reverence, honor, worship, love, whatever word you want to put in there. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, what about my thoughts? Do I reverence God with my thoughts? What about my schedule? Do I reverence God with my schedule? My priorities in life, do I honor Him? My relationships in life, do they honor God? Do they reverence God? My money that I have, am I a good steward of what God blesses me with? And so that's how it applies. Proverbs 15:33 says this, honoring God and being humble leads to wisdom, and wisdom will bring honor to you. There's an old saying that goes this way, be humble or stumble. And I like that. Be humble or stumble. So it begins with humility. You know, we've got to acknowledge, God, we need your wisdom. We need your help. We don't know what to do. We don't know what step to take. We don't know how long this stuff is going to last. And so, God, we need your wisdom. I like Rick Warren, and he always talks about the lesson of the whale when he talks about humility. And he says, you know, the lesson of the whale is this. When you come up and you start to blow is when you're going to get harpooned. And so, you know, we let pride build up, and we think, man, we can handle this thing, and we've got this thing, but see, we need humility. That's what we need. We need to understand our dependency upon God. And so he tells us here to do that. Now, another way that we get the wisdom is practice God's word. Listen to Jesus in John 13:17. Jesus said, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." How much of the Bible do you believe? You believe as much of the Bible as you practice. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's more than, you know, it's good to know the Bible. It's good to know the truths of the Bible, the historical setting of the Bible, doctrines of the Bible. It's good to know all that. See what Jesus says here, you've got to apply it. What difference is it making in your life? What the knowledge you have of the Bible, what difference does that make? So Jesus said we're to practice what we know about God's Word. And then, we're to do what it says. 2 Samuel 22:31, God's way is always perfect and God's Word is always true. And as I said, it's found in the person of Christ. That's where truth is. James 1:25. If you look intently into God's perfect word, and to look intently means to study. That's another word for study. If you study God's word, God's perfect word that gives you freedom, and you continue to do this, daily Bible reading, not forgetting what you've learned, and then you put it into practice in your life, you will be blessed in everything you do. So see, it's the putting into practice of God's Word. The third way we get God's wisdom is I need to get some good Christian people in my life. Here's a principle that I want to give to you that I've learned and I've read about for many years. The quality of your life will be determined by who you spend time with. We need to have good friends. I know one thing that COVID-19 has done for me in my personal life. It has really strengthened my friendship with other pastors. Because we've been talking a lot. We've been praying a lot. We've been talking to each other and seeking counsel with each other and praying. And it's really strengthened those friendships. You know, with what we are going through today, with this virus and everything else, you need good friends. And you need good Christian friends. And you need someone you can talk to and somebody you can pray with and somebody that'll be there with you that will help you get through. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." John Blanchard was a theologian, and he defined biblical wisdom this way. He said, biblical wisdom is the ability to discern God's hand in human circumstances and apply heavenly judgment to earthly situations. And that's a good theological definition of wisdom. The second point that I want to make today is that when I trust God, He frees me from second guessing. Proverbs 17:24. Anyone with God's wisdom will know what makes good sense, but the foolish can never make up their minds. James 1:6-8. When you ask God for wisdom, you must believe and expect God to answer, because anyone who starts doubting is like a wave in the sea that is blown and tossed around by the ever-changing winds. You want to get God's wisdom. You don't want to be double-minded with it, always wavering back and forth. And see, that makes things unstable. It makes things insecure when we do that. So we need stability in our emotions. You remember the seven stages I talked about in the beginning? Folks, that's where our emotions have been. I mean, we've been everywhere with this thing. And I know, like you, some days I'm okay with things, some days I'm not. And so we all deal with that. So where do we find the stability? We find the stability and the wisdom that comes from God. God, help me. I need wisdom. I need understanding with these things. And so the Bible tells us, you know, we do that, and we were, you know, because it's easy to be pulled in different directions. And that's what the Bible is talking about here, being double-minded, being two-souled is what it's talking about here. But we believe that God will help us in these areas. Number three, when I trust God, He acts on my behalf. Matthew 9:29 says it this way. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. What do you think moves God the most when we pray? You know, I know God's big enough to handle our complaints because I've taken those complaints to Him. I know He's big enough to handle my frustrations, and He handles that and listens. But what moves God more than anything else is our faith. Believing in Him. Trusting in Him. I believe Him. I trust Him. I believe the church has a future. I don't know how long this is going to be for the church. But I do know this. I do know that the church has a future. I believe that and trust that. I don't know how long we're going to have to meet like we're meeting. But I believe and I trust God that He has a future for the church. That is faith. Faith believing. And then number four, when I trust God, He causes everything to work out for the good. Romans 8:28. For we know that everything works together for good. For those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now this verse isn't for everyone. There's a qualifier here. To them that love God. That's it. Love God. Know Him. Relationship with Him. You know, we say, the way we say it, be saved, know Jesus. That's who this promise is for. And so here's where that helps me. It helps me to know that in my struggle, and if I pray, and I'm really trying to decide, you know, it's deciding between this good decision, this good decision. Deciding, you know, well, if I go this way or that way, you know, either way I go, it's going to may cause pain in my life. What that verse says to me, if I have faith and I'm sincere and I just lay that out before God, then God takes that and He takes my decision and He works all of that out for His good. Why? Because He is God. And to me, that gives me great encouragement. It helps me in my daily life to know that. And so we trust Him with those decisions. We must choose between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. And bringing this to a conclusion today, here's how I want to summarize it. What we've talked about today about wisdom is this, that wisdom comes from God, first of all. Number two, we must ask God for wisdom. And number three, what the Bible teaches us is that wisdom comes on a daily basis. It's not like this bang, one time I pray and say, God, give me wisdom. What James says is, the way he words it, you know, it's daily wisdom. And in what we're living with today, it could be hourly wisdom. It could be, you know, minute wisdom, second wisdom. You know, who knows? But it's daily wisdom that comes our way. Now, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is no middle ground. There isn't. You've got to make a choice. You've got to make a decision. That's what the gospel is all about. It's choosing to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what gets us to heaven. I was listening to David Jeremiah earlier this morning. He was preaching about heaven. And he was talking about being in Sunday school class. And you know how teachers do in Sunday school class. They get all the kids together. They ask questions. And, you know, the kids, they want to answer the questions. And, you know, questions like, you know, who believed God created the world? Oh, I do, I do. Who believed that Jesus walked on the water? I do, I do. And then the Sunday school teacher said, well, how do you get to heaven? And the little boy in the back said, you got to be dead to get to heaven. So that's how he answered that question. Well, there's a way to get to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. And so we believe and put faith in him and trust in him. And that is the choice. That's the decision. That's the wisest choice that anyone can ever make in life. And we want you to make that decision. I want the worship team to come at this time. We're going to prepare now for our time of invitation. And rather than sing this invitation today, what I want to do is this Karen to play. And I want you, I'm going to ask you here in a minute just to bow your head and close your eyes. But in just a very practical way, what decision do you need to give to God today? What's coming up this week that's going to be a tough decision? Maybe it's not coming up this week. Maybe it's going to be a few weeks down the road. We all face those tough choices and decisions in life. And for believers today, what I'm saying in this time of invitation is this: turn it over to God and let God help you get his wisdom on these situations. You know, when you think about it, you think about why does life have to be so hard? And the reason life is so hard is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. This is not heaven, folks. So it's tough. And there's some tough decisions that you're going to have to make. Pray. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask God to help you make the right choices and decisions in life. Give him that decision you have to make today. If you've never trusted Christ, do that. Ask him to come in your life, forgive your sin, be your Savior. Say, Lord, come into my heart, save me. And if you pray that prayer today, I'll be here. I want you to come up and tell me, I prayed that prayer, and I asked Christ to come into my life. Let's bow our heads for our prayer, please. Lord, today we just thank you for this time of invitation. Father, during this time of prayer, talking to you, if there's any person here today who needs to receive you as Savior, I pray that they would do that. I pray that they would make that choice, that decision, that they would just ask you to come into their heart, forgive them of sin, be their Savior. And if they pray that prayer today, I pray that they would let us know about it. Lord, as believers today, we just bring those decisions to you that we're facing. I don't know what decision it is this week, but Lord, you do. I don't know what it is that's troubling hearts today with decisions, but you do. And Father, I just pray that as believers today that we would trust you. And Lord, today I just thank you for Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good, for those who love you, for those who are called according to your purpose. Lord, the best thing I know to do is to pray, to have faith, to put trust in you, and just believe in you with the decisions that we make. And so, Lord, we thank you for that encouragement this morning. I pray that as a pastor that you continue to help me as I make decisions for our church here. As we continue going forward, Lord, I need your wisdom because I don't have all the answers to it. And Lord, I just pray for your people today that they would seek you for wisdom in making the decisions and choices that they have to make going forward. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
Thank you for being here today, and thank you for your attention. Worship team, if you'll come now, we'll dismiss in our song, of course. As you leave today, the offering plates will be at the door, so thank you for giving. You've done well with that. I thank you for it. Your generosity to the ministry and the work of the church has really been good, and I thank you for that. So as you leave today, if you have an offering you'd like to give, plates will be at the door.
As we close our service this morning, it's all because of what Jesus has done in our life. He's the reason that we're alive. Let's sing that song this morning. It's all because of Jesus. I'm alive.
My Savior, Redeemer, lifted me from the miry clay. Almighty, forever, I'll never be the same because you came from the everlasting to the world we live, the Father's only Son. You live, you died, you rose again on high, you again on high. You opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ covers me and raise this dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raises dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
great week. You're dismissed.